That song is a beautiful message. Use this vessel, Lord, as you choose. That's the basic idea behind today's missions emphasis. It's a reminder of different people early in the summer who said, earlier this year, so this year, God, use this vessel as you choose. Use me in Kentucky. Use me in Brazil. Use me in Albertville. Use me in Maine later this year. And then use me in the Dominican Republic. And so we had a group after the Kentucky trip happened. We had a group that went to the Dominican Republic. We had 7 individuals from Catalyst Church in Gadsden that joined in with 7 of us from right here at First Baptist Church. And we went to serve in the Dominican Republic for a week with Cups of Cold Water Ministries in Sosua, DR. And one of the things that I learned while we were there was that if you will just be a willing vessel, God can use you. Let me say a prayer before we continue on with our service. Father God, my prayer is at this point, in this moment, that every person in this room would already feel from your Holy Spirit's calling that we can simply say, let me be a vessel you can use. Thank you for the 34 children and adults who served in Kentucky. May those kids learn right now at their age, they can be a vessel used by you. Father, thank you for those that pray and give and make a way for others to be able to go. And God, as we continue on speaking about the different ministries, have your way among us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we carry on, let me tell you a little bit about the Dominican Republic. The focus of the ministry there is to share the gospel and make disciples of children mostly, but families in general, but children, so that these kids do not end up on the streets involved in the human trafficking industry that's very rampant in Sosua. We conducted a day camp. We conducted other events in the city. We painted a pastor's house. We provided food for people who live in the local dump, and there's quite a few that live in this dump, or in those that have been taken out of there have been placed in a slum nearby that was sort of just abandoned and just put there and told they need to be there instead. We prayer walked the downtown streets of Sosua and interacted and prayed for prostitutes and police officers and everything in between. A number of children's lives are being impacted by the gospel through the work of Cups of Cold Water Ministry. The future of these kids really is at stake, because when they reach the age of 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, right in that 13 to 15 year range, it's really easy for them to be pulled into a life of trafficking. It's easy for families to say, we have no hope and no way to provide, so this is all they can go and do. And so this ministry was birthed to come in early, to help a family, to disciple a child so that the right choices can be made, so that is avoided. One of the ways they do that is by a children's ministry program. There's a man named Daniel who's a missionary. He's from Mexico, and he and his wife moved to the Dominican Republic, and they minister to these children and their families every single week. Not just when mission teams are there, but every week, day in and day out, they minister to hundreds of kids. They're discipling them in small groups, in group settings. And through your advanced 2020 giving, when we returned from that trip, we were able to send some funds down through our special offering through advanced 2020 to provide 250 backpacks. We have a couple of pictures to show you. I believe there's 4 pictures if you want to show those. Here's the kids receiving. This is the pictures they sent us, some of those backpacks. You just take a look at 2 or 3 of these. We were able to provide for them in something they would never be able to provide for themselves as they are headed off to school. And so as each of these backpacks were provided for the kids, the gospel was shared. These guys do an excellent job of sharing the gospel. And I also want to mention a little bit more about the ministry there. There is another picture of Jan and his wife. I believe it's the next picture there, DR1. And Jan and his wife, Jan is the captain, or he was, excuse me, the captain of the Mercy Ship. The Mercy Ship is an international ministry. It's the size of a cruise liner that travels around with, it's a floating hospital of doctors, surgeons, nurses, anesthesiologists. They have ICUs. There are 7 surgical theaters on this boat. They dock in a third world country, and they have 12 mobile ambulances that get off and go into the country and bring people back with need to do surgeries on the ship. They stay somewhere 3 to 6 months at a time. And he was the captain of this ship. And he felt led by God to leave that ministry, such a powerful ministry, to come and serve the people in the dump in Sisua. So this man and his wife go to this garbage dump. You can notice, it may be hard to pick out, it's sort of like playing Where's Waldo with all the different colors, but there's a man standing in the middle. It may be hard to see from a distance. And then there's someone sort of laying, you see a red cap back towards the upper right side, and another person standing behind him. Truthfully, because of the vast size of the dump, an image, it's easy to lose people in it. So there's a number of people in that picture. But they spend 7 days a week in this dump, searching for little bits of things that someone might give them money for, recyclables, searching for food, searching for anything that they could use that they might could barter or trade or eat that they can have to survive. And Thea Lee is going to come and share. And as Thea comes, there's about 5 pictures that we'll let her talk about as well. Really, when I asked Thea what impacted her, there were 2 things that she mentioned to me. One dealt with where these people in the dump have to live. And the other really dealt with what we did at night in the city, prayer walking. And so Thea, we don't have any pictures of that for safety reasons. There are no pictures of what happened at night on the streets. But there are some more pictures of the dump and how we feed the people. So this, if you'll notice, he's receiving a peanut butter sandwich and a banana. Every day, Jan and his wife go every day to give them bananas. And then twice a week, they go and they take peanut butter on bread, peanut butter sandwiches. And then once a week, they get a Haitian stew also. And you'll see in the next picture, they will find any dirty bottle they can find, and they will bring it. And the ministry is called Cups of Cold Water. Well, they take gallons and gallons of water every day so that these people can have clean drinking water. And then Jan and his wife are discipling these folks. Next picture shows a little bit more. This is a house. That's it. In the dump. It is a few sticks tied together with a tarp over the top and an abandoned mattress underneath. And this would be the home of several people. 7 days a week, rain, shine, tropical storm, doesn't matter. This is where they live. This is their lot in life. And they seem hopeless to know how to get out of that. I think there's one more. This is an example. When we first arrived and you have the water, they will line up. Anything they can find that someone can give them a sandwich. And these are not beggars. These are not people that is what they're doing. They are trying to make their own way in the dump, but you literally cannot. So this ministry has stepped in to say, we'll provide for some temporary needs. And in doing so, it's going to allow us to share the gospel, because what these people really need is not a peanut butter sandwich. They need Jesus. So the next picture is the only picture, Thea, I could find inside the slum where these folks live. We try to be very respectful and not take pictures, not to degrade their lives at all. So Thea's going to speak a minute.
What you said about hopelessness is what I took away from this. I thought the dump would be the worst thing I encountered when I was there, when the bus pulled up into the dump and just the smell that hit us, and I knew I couldn't get off that bus. I just started crying then when I saw everybody running up to the bus to get their drinking water and their soup. But, you know, just to see how they live and that they're so... The truck that came in that we were there the day, there's one truck that comes once a week that brings the things they throw away from the grocery stores, and lettuce like we would throw away that's in the bags that's brown and runny, that's their meal. They go and get it and they eat it, and they're collecting Clorox bottles. We take them clean water, but they're bringing Clorox bottles to get filled, and that's what they're drinking out of. And the soup that they got, I mean, that's something that I probably wouldn't have even eaten, but they loved it. I mean, they just line up and they come back until it's gone. They could get seconds, but... And I thought that, you know, I just went back to the compound that night, and I thought, you know, it couldn't be any worse than this. And Houston says, this is a step up from Belize. And, you know, he could not, I mean, he's been on like 30 mission trips and already, you know, tries to get me to go. This is my first time out of country. And it's like, it's the Dominican. You'll have fun. Go, he says. You know, it was not. But the thing that touched my heart and broke me was working with prostitutes. And it wasn't the sign language. You know, that's just something I do. I know you said that was a snapshot moment for you, but there was a little boy, he couldn't have been 14 years old, shoeshine boy by day, homeless, orphaned, and the men prayed with him, and when I was standing behind watching, the women didn't gather around him, but as someone was hugging on him and his face was toward me, and the blank, dead hopelessness of his eyes, just no feeling, I mean, and it just, that's when, you know, I went to my knees and I thought, we're leaving him. You know, he has no home. He has nothing to eat. He's going to be used and abused tonight. This little boy out on the streets. And I was so broken by that. But Mike Williams told us on our last night there.
Not our Mike Williams.
Right. Not our Mike Williams that runs Cups of Cold Water in the ministry there. That we were all kind of let down because we didn't see a change. You know, we didn't go just put a roof on, paint a house, and then just leave. I mean, you didn't see change. We left them hopeless. I mean, we prayed, and some of them, you know, we know for sure there was one prostitute that, you know, said, you're not going to see me here next week, next year when you come back, and I'm praying that's the case with her. But they had families. Those women had families. I will never look on another prostitute again with the same eyes I had before, because they're there because they want to eat. They don't want to be there. They've got kids. They'd rather be at home. And they all wanted us to pray. Mike told us that the whiter you are, the I guess they think you have a more direct line to God. You're smarter if you're whiter, the lighter your skin. And they would pull us in off the street to pray with them. We prayed for one lady at the dump village that in a little room, probably about as big as two of those corrals there, and she had four kids, just a room. There are no lights. There's no way to cook. Well, they don't have anything to eat if they did. There's no bathrooms. There's no privacy. You know, they sleep on the floor, and she was so ill and, you know, wanted us to come in. And I think I prayed more that week than I probably do in a year here, because they just want us to put our hands on them and pray for them. And it was just so heartbreaking. I've never in my life experienced such desperation and hopelessness and impoverished people as I saw there.
And Thea, I know for you, the day we arrived, you made a comment, because we had a long journey to get there. It shouldn't be a long journey, but we had a terrible bus ride that took about 5.5 extra hours, and it was rough, and just it was not a great experience. We didn't have that coming back. It was much easier coming back. There's a new way to make that happen. But the first night, you kind of said to me at one point, you said, well, I'm glad I'm here, but this will be my last one. And then by the end of the week, you were talking about how quick you can't wait to get back and what God is doing. The reality is we learn, and God breaks our hearts for a reason. When we talked about make this life a vessel you can use, here's what I've learned. Until the vessel's broken, the vessel can't be used. Now, that seems opposite to the world, but it's the reality. And so God uses that. And I know Thea intends to be back in the Dominican, and we invite you to go back with us as well. Thank you for sharing, Thea. What I would say to what she, add to what she said is this, and we talked about this, and this was hard to understand with the entire group, that you're still leaving someone in abject poverty, but the point is not to bring them out of poverty, though we do want that to happen. The point is to bring them to the cross. Because Jesus is clear. He said very specifically, the poor you will always have with you. We're not going to eradicate poverty from the world. But what we can do is help people and bring wisdom and bring ways and provision, but we can share the gospel and we can help people move forward in life. And so we're doing that. We're going to go back to the Dominican Republic next year. Our teenagers will be taking a trip there next July. The 10th grade through 12th grade will have a trip there. And we're going to have an adult trip as well. Mike Williams, the gentleman who runs the ministry, some of you will remember him, the Advanced 2020 conference 3 years ago on the Sunday evening. We closed out the night in our gym. We had a Christian comedian with us. If you remember the Christian comedian, very funny, great guy. That's him. That's Mike Williams. This is his ministry. And so he will be back with us actually on Wednesday night, September 13th. We're going to have all of our other Bible studies shut down for the one night. Our teenagers will come in. He'll share a few minutes of comedy, and then he's going to talk about the ministry a little more, and we're going to talk about a solidified partnership with the Dominican Republic. God is using it to disciple men and women. Lives are being changed, and we get to be a part of it, and so that's exciting. Our next trip beyond the Dominican Republic was missions to the max, and so I'm going to ask Justin to come. Now, when I say trip, it was local. Don't think that missions has to be in another country. Don't think it has to be far off. We're very thankful for Justin coming. So I believe the video is going to play while you talk. Is that right? So you guys can start the video and Justin's going to share.
That's about what I was going to say. We don't have to go across the world to serve. And that's really what Missions to the Max is about. This is the third year we've done it. And really our hope is to just maximize the experience for students. So you're going to see pictures of local businesses, local ministries that we were able to partner with. Let me kind of walk you through our schedule as you see the pictures, and there's the name of the project underneath it. But we traveled all the way to Arab to start our week out. And if you don't know this, our teenagers have a very limited amount of free time over the summer. If they're in choir, if they're in band, there are practices and weeks of practices. So the summer is not like it used to be when we were teenagers. Can I get an amen from the teenagers? So we took a very limited amount of time that they had, and we took a Monday through Wednesday. We traveled to Arab on Monday morning. We worked with TESA, which is Emergency Services of Arab, which is kind of a sister organization to Marshall County Christian Services and the Second Chance Food Pantry and things like that that we have in town. We worked in their clothing closet. We helped them reorganize some things, took a look at their ministry and the things they're doing over there. Then we came back after lunch and spent some time with Keep Albertville Beautiful. We were in the Graham Park, which is right behind our library down the street here, and did some cleanup, did some trash pickup, as you saw there. Then from there, we went on Monday afternoon to work with School Within a School, which is right between the primary and the elementary school, a program that's going on in there. And Ms. Carrie Harris is part of that program, and they have a garden that we helped install last year, and now we got to weed it out this past year and had a good time kind of hearing about the School Within a School and doing some weeding and even enjoyed some dinner together and then a pool party and things that evening. And then the next day started. Of course, we spend the night at host homes. The guys went to one house. The girls went to another. Then we come back together for devotion and breakfast together. Tuesday morning, we headed to the Real Life Pregnancy Center you see here. They have three locations. We worked in the one here in Albertville. We cleaned some windows, organized some children's clothes and on the inside, but did a lot of work on the outside. Their parking lot has a lot of overgrowth from the foliage that is next door. I think we added two parking spots once we cleared all that overgrowth. It was so far into the parking lot. We enjoyed lunch together. Probably one of my favorite aspects was we joined the senior adult luncheon, which I kind of purposely planned that this would happen during the week of the senior adult luncheon. And if you were there for our senior adult luncheon that Tuesday, you know that was a special time to have the teenagers in with our senior adults, and we had fun there. Then we worked again with Keep Albertville Beautiful after lunch and worked downtown, picked up a lot of cigarette buds. As a matter of fact, I saw somebody just the other day. I was driving down the road, and they're smoking a cigarette out the window, threw it out on the ground. When you start picking up those cigarette buds, you start to really hurt when you see people throw them down. There are a lot of cigarette buds around this county, and we kind of helped clean up. Then they had their big dodgeball tournament with the community churches getting together and community businesses getting together on that night, so we were able to kind of pick up downtown Albertville before they did that. And then we took part in the dodgeball tournament, ate lunch together, had another great time spending the night at our host homes and hanging out together. And we finished on Friday morning. You see pictures here. We went all the way over to Huntsville and worked with the Downtown Rescue Mission. And we were able to serve the homeless food, help clean up. We got a little tour while we were there to see their food pantry and their clothing closet and the ministries that they do for men and women and children. And they're building a brand new building, we learned, that's going to be specific for women and children and family units being able to stay together instead of separating mom and dad in different locations. There was one picture that we were able to snap in there for a last minute project that we added in, which was working with CASA, and you may be familiar with that. They build a lot of the wheelchair ramps that some of the men in our church are a part of, but they also deliver needs to elderly who can't get out, like box fans or potty chairs and things like that. So we were able to deliver some of those with part of our mission team that went and did that while the rest of us were working elsewhere. So I just want to say thank you for your love for our students. My purpose in doing this the last few summers has really been to instill in our students that, yes, we can go to Atlanta. We can go to Atlantic City, New Jersey next summer. We can go to the Dominican Republic and Lookout Mountain, Georgia. We can work with the Alabama Baptist Children's Home, which we look forward to doing during fall break this year. We can go all kinds of places, but there's plenty of ministry opportunity right outside these four walls. So my prayer is that the students wouldn't just get this grasp of the mission field, but that the adults around here would as well. And thank you especially to two adult Sunday school classes that provided meals for us during that night, because this project week was available to our students free of cost, and they were such awesome missionaries, so I'm proud of them. Next summer, we're going to do two different mission trips for the different age groups of our teenagers. So this type of weekend will actually, or week of missions, will actually happen during fall break of next year. So we're changing the schedule a little, but we still hope to instill in our students the mission field right here as well as all around the world. So thank you for your love and your support of our teenagers. I'm proud to serve y'all.
Thank you, Justin. Hold on just a second. And I do want to mention, and we're very blessed as a church to have Karen as our children's minister, Justin as our student pastor. The reality is, when both of them started the process of serving our church, we had conversations specifically as a pastor with them about that my desire, and that what we want the vision of our church to be, is that we could find a way that our children and our students would not just be served, but would serve. That they would, because that's important, that they learn and are discipled in that way. And both of them, Justin's done an incredible job. Truthfully, our students do as much serving or more than any group as far as active planning and being involved in our community, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for your ministry, for your leadership, and I'm thankful for Karen as well. So thank you very much.
And I would invite y'all, our mission statement as a church, worship, grow, and serve, and our student ministry team works very hard to plan out every month. We have worship aspects of things that happen. We have grow or discipleship aspects of things that happen for our teenagers. But every month, at least one Saturday, we spend doing what we call a serve day. So we make sure that we have mission projects. So things like this that all happened on this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday during Mission to the Max, we try to do this once a month all throughout the school year. So you are welcome, adults, parents of teenagers, to join us anytime we have a serve day project, because my prayer is for us to continue to serve and not just, hey, it's summertime, let's go on a mission trip, now back to life after summer's over. So let's continue to serve every month throughout the school year together.
Thank you. Our final trip of the summer so far was our trip to Brazil, and I'm going to ask Patsy Johnson and J.D. Ryan's going to make his way if you'll both come this way. Now, Shirley went. Shirley, you're welcome to say something as well, too. I think they're set if you would like to. It's up to you. The three of them came, and I want to share you a few things here as they come. There's something specific each of them are going to share, and Patsy is going to go first, but I want to mention to you that our partnership in Brazil went through a little transition. We had a partnership with a church in Balsamo, and their pastor left, so the partnership was put on hold until a new pastor could be found for the church plant. A new pastor was found, and so that partnership is now up and running again. And if you've never been to Brazil, we encourage you to go. Let me ask you guys, do you remember how many people made a decision for Christ while the three of you were there? Do you remember the number?
86.
86 people. Praise the Lord. Now, and the reality of that is we understand no one's coerced into praying a prayer. This is not in a group setting where you're asking everyone to raise their hand. These are in homes. They go door to door in homes, and people are glad to have an American come into their home and fellowship with them. And then they clearly share the gospel and give people an opportunity to respond. Well, the exciting part is that with the 86 that gave their life to the Lord, if we stop there, let me be honest, we failed. And so the whole point of this is not just evangelism for the sake of evangelism. It's discipleship. And so the pastor now will follow up with Bible study. He will offer in-home Bible studies for them to go in their home with them, invite them back to the church as well. That the key is not would someone repeat a prayer. The key is can we see life change by someone coming to know the Savior in a radical way. And so we want to see them disciples. So I'm thankful. This is the catalyst for that happening. Patsy, you shared with me one particular encounter that God just used to speak to you. Would you mind talking about that for a second? And I think there's a picture. Is there a picture for yours? Is that right? There are. There's two pictures. Patsy, one and two.
Okay. This home right here I went into, these two ladies here, they were friends and neighbors. And when I walked in, you know, we told them what we wanted, and we come to share about Jesus Christ. And I asked them, what did they know about Jesus? And both of the ladies said, I know the name, but no one's ever told me. And people, that spoke to me hard. I'm sorry, I'm very emotional. You know, we shared with them and gave, you know, went through the track, and both of the ladies prayed and asked Christ to come in their heart. But even after I left, I got to thinking. I said, Lord, each and every one of us, every day, come in contact with people that's heard the name Jesus, but no one's ever told them. That spoke to me hard. Because we do, each and every one of us, as Christians, people, we're failing. We're failing big time. Because I know, I'm speaking about myself, because I know every day we all come in contact with people that's heard about Jesus, but we're not telling them. We're not telling them. And I just, you know, the first time I went to Brazil 4 years ago, you know, I got there and I'm thinking, Lord, what am I doing here? You know, but he uses us no matter how we think we're not worthy, but God uses us in a mighty way, and it's just a whole different experience going into the homes. And sometimes the people are not at home, and we just talk to people on the street. It's like, you know, they just waiting for us to tell them. That's all it is. Someone is waiting for us to tell them about Jesus. And I thank you for the wonderful opportunity to go. And I especially thank, everybody knows Deborah Rebus. Most of you do. She does a fabulous job in organizing this when we get there. And I thank you.
Thank you, Patsy. What you just said is true, that we've all got someone waiting for us to tell them about Jesus. We do. We do. JD, two specific stories real quickly, if you will. That when you told me both the stories, It brought me to tears. And so tell both those stories real quickly, if you will.
Thank you, Chris. On the screen is a gentleman there with a hat. I need to say a little bit before I get into this story. The presence of the Holy Spirit is so strong each and every day. It's our feet. It's our mouth. As we go into these homes, we have Jesus just tattooed across their chest. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened with each one of these two instances that I'm going to speak of. This gentleman here in the hat, my first appointment, people weren't home. And the way I look at it, God had another home picked out for me to come in today. And I was walking by the street. He's sitting on the porch, and he had a 67 Volkswagen Beetle sitting in the driveway. It was a cat daddy car, I'm telling you. So I started speaking on the Beetle, and eventually he invited me in. And I just told him a little bit about my story. And the first mention of the word Jesus, he just started crying, big crocodile tears. And kind of like I do sometimes. And at the end of the Billy Graham, four-step Billy Graham process of salvation, he was just begging, to accept Jesus. Come to find out, he was a professor at a school there, real well-educated man. He'd been deeply depressed for months, hadn't slept in a couple weeks, and he said, Jesus brought you in here today. It's just a beautiful story how Jesus did bring me in there. And we went back and celebrated in the kitchen, and he was just raising his hands, shouting for joy. Later that evening, we went back out in the nights, and of course, I'm fired up. The Holy Spirit has really got a hold of me, and I did things that I didn't think I was capable of doing. After visiting a home, we had a wonderful salvation, and walking down the street, the interpreter looked over there at a bar, said, J.D., you want to go in there? I said, absolutely. It's not like I hadn't been there before. So my story I could share with these people. Had two gentlemen sitting on the street drinking beer. Started to share with them. They both accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We turned our attention to the bar owner. He too accepted Jesus. We walked out of there 45 minutes later, three bar people drinking beer saying, praise to the Lord, Jesus brought you in here today. Thank you.
Thank you, JD. Thank you, thank you. Shirley, you want to say a word?
Well, we could go on with stories like Patsy has shared, like JD has shared. The thing about it is, one of the things that Holly said is that you try so hard to be prepared. And the thing about it is, when you go into a home, you can't be prepared. One morning this week, when I did my quiet time with the Lord, he said, look up on my face, call out my name. Ask the Holy Spirit, and I will lead you through this day. And that's what we do when we go into these homes. Although we have an interpreter, and although if we don't do it just right, they can do it right for us. But you know, I learned a long time ago, people learn so much from your expressions. They learn so much from your actions. And so each and every home we go into, we're just constantly praying, Holy Spirit, speak through me. Holy Spirit, speak through me. And I thought, yes, that's what we need, but that's what we need each and every day. And one of the things is to, I'd like to ask you to continue to pray for the church. The pastor's young. This is his first church. He's 25 years old. His wife is 23. But one of the things he offers is to go into the homes for a Bible study. I witnessed to a man, and he was well up in his 70s. And I always try to go over with them when they pray the prayer, some things for you to do to start this wonderful new life with Jesus Christ. And one of the things is to get into the study of God's Word. And he said, when I was 7, I had to quit school. I had to help. I had to go to work to get money to help my family. And I can't read. And he was overjoyed that the pastor's willing to come into his house and to do a Bible study with him. So if y'all just please pray for the church and the growth of the church.
And I want to thank these three for going. And we will take other groups to Brazil and encourage you to go and participate and pray. We send what is $400 a month from the Advance 2020 Fund to help that church plant. Another church in the area supports it as well, a church in Brazil that is. So we see people that came to the Lord in a bar, people that came to the Lord in their homes. And this is what I would say as we conclude. There are people in houses, huts, street corners, and bars all over the world who've never heard the name of Jesus. We have a team headed to Uganda later this year. We have a team headed to Maine still. We have many more opportunities to serve here locally as well. And what I would encourage you to know is that there are countless people around the world and countless people in Albertville who need an ambassador of Jesus Christ to come and share the gospel with them. So would you be on God's mission? Would you be a part of that? We started today by reminding us that we're all part of God's grand story, that we weren't here when it started. But guess what? You get to be here as it continues from this point forward. The grand finale involving the earth will happen at this point. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 says this: "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" So what I can say to you is that there'll be children from Kentucky standing and saying, "Salvation belongs to God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." There'll be former prostitutes in the Dominican Republic who will be standing and singing that praise. There will be people from Albertville and Brazil, people from Balsamo, Atlantic City, Belize, New Jersey, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, on and on. I'm thankful to know that because of your praying, your giving, and your going, that we get to be a part of populating Revelation 7:9. People from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language. Aren't you thankful to be a part of that? I want to encourage you to be a part of this story. Some of the ways you can be a part as we close. Number one, you can yourself share the gospel. You are God's ambassador. Just as Patsy said, there are people you know who have heard the name of Jesus but really don't know what he's done for them. Sadly, there are some people in certain churches even that have heard the name of Jesus often and don't understand what he's really done for them. Share the gospel. Don't just do it in action. Do it with your mouth as well. Be clear that they understand what it means. Share the gospel. Secondly, you can continue to pray for all of our mission partners and for all the opportunities we have to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And third, you can give above and beyond your regular giving to the Advance 2020 Fund as we send to make help our partners around the world. I can think of nothing more important we're doing than investing in the kingdom of God. Here's what we have to know, church. We can spend all of our resources and all of our efforts and all of our time and all of our energy, and there are plenty of people that have said to me over the years, we need to focus more on ourselves. And here's what I would say. We can build our own castle or we can build the kingdom. And at the end of the day, if we just work on building our castle, that's all we're going to have. But we can build the kingdom of God, and I promise you, he'll do both. He will build the kingdom here and around the world if we'll just help build his kingdom. He so calls us to be on his mission. Would you join the mission of God? Would you bow with me? With our heads bowed and eyes closed, everyone in this room does not have to go on a mission trip. Some of you physically cannot. Everyone in this room cannot give equal amounts to the Advance 2020 Fund. Everyone in this room is not going to be able to have certain skill sets to do certain things that others can. But I'm quite certain that if you're a follower of Jesus, you have been called to his grand story to be on mission for him. He will take who you are with what you have to offer at the place you're at in life right now and use you to be his ambassador. It's just you and I saying, God, I've decided I'll follow you. I will be on mission for you. Teachers, you are about to embark on a new mission on Tuesday. Be the light of Jesus to those students. Students, you are embarking on a new mission Tuesday. Yes, your number one job is to go and to do well and get an education, but I assure you that God's calling you to be his light and his ambassador among your classmates, among your friends. Workers in the room, God's calling you on your job. You are his man or woman on the scene where you work. He's got you there for a reason. Beyond just your own provision of means, he wants to use you. Some of you, you know that God's calling you to step up and be a part of a missions trip. That's great. Others of you, God's calling you to give like never before, that you can be a part of that. Others, it's to get on your knees on a regular basis at home because you can't physically go anywhere. Get on your knees and pray for our missionaries. Pray for people around the world to come to Christ. Pray for the 300 plus missionaries sitting in this room right now that we can live out the gospel call. Whatever God is saying to you, first of all, let me just say I'm thrilled and thankful that we can celebrate what's happened this summer. This is not about our church. It is not. There's not one person that went on any of these trips that's got it all together. We are broken vessels changed by the power of God's grace that he is allowing us to be on mission with him. It's our privilege. Would you join the ranks? Would you let yourself be used a willing vessel here locally in our community around the world? Maybe you're here and you said, this is the faith family I want to be a part of. I've been attending here a while, but I want to be here. Justin's going to be standing right down front. If you want to come and become an official member of the church, you come. Maybe you say, I want to give my life to Jesus. Come, Justin will share with you how that's done. Listen, we've got plenty of people that can do it in English, Portuguese, Spanish, and anything else. You come today, we'll find a way to share the gospel with you. Maybe God's calling you. You say, I feel a call to missions. I feel a call to a life of that. Maybe you come and make that public. Maybe for you, you just want to pray for a friend you know needs Jesus, or you want to pray that God will show you what your next step is for being an ambassador for him. Whatever the case may be, the altar is open. Justin's here to receive people. Would you respond? Father God, we're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. My prayer is that every person who sings it would mean it. Oh, that this won't just come from our lips, it'll come from our hearts. You alone are worthy of our praise, Father. You alone, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, I Have Decided.